May I speak in the name of our living triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Despite its complexity, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity lends itself to a sermon address for children, because I would use so many props to get my point over. I shan't insult you by doing the same, but I would begin by showing an emoticon of a puzzled face. I'm sure you know the one. As we read in today's gospel, that at the commissioning of the disciples, they're sending out by Jesus to continue spreading God's messages that he'd been priming his disciples about for the last 3 years, still many doubted. It's hardly surprising, really, when you consider the task these ordinary, though clearly specifically chosen men had been given. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And remember at this point that we are those disciples of today. Another puzzled emoticon. But to recap, today is Trinity Sunday. For Christians, this marks the belief that there is one God who exists as three distinct co-equal persons, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Trinity Sunday is unique because it celebrates a doctrine, not historical event, such as at Christmas or Easter. It honours a foundational theological concept of the Christian faith. We've all heard the saying, two's company, three's a crowd, meaning that when two are enjoying each other's company, adding a third might make them feel uncomfortable or crowded, as it completely changes the dynamics between them and can disrupt by the presence of a third. That said, it absolutely turns the idiom on its head, with the very essence of the Holy Trinity having its very power in three, not in confusion and disruption. The theologian Fred Sanders once lectured on the doctrine of God and began his talk by saying, "The Trinity. Try to understand it and you'll lose your mind. Try to deny it and you'll lose your soul." Nevertheless, us ministers are tasked with preaching on, or attempting to preach on, this elusive Holy Trinity, which can only be revealed to us, as it was to the disciples, through the Holy Spirit, whose coming we celebrated at Pentecost last weekend, as together with the Father and the Son, it makes up the whole. I'm sure we've all heard the analogies of comparing this difficult concept of the Holy Trinity to an egg with three components, shell, white, and yolk, making up the complete whole, and of water, which can be in the form of a liquid, ice, or steam, and of an apple, there is a worksheet for the children at the back about this, in the form of skin, flesh, and pips, and so on. And looking at it in human terms, a man can be a son, husband, or partner, and father. In all these examples, three makes one. But how can us mere mortals approach the Herculean task of understanding something as complex as God's Trinitarian nature? You can see a picture of the Trinity not on your pew sheet. It has no end, as all the three parts are eternally linked. Start wherever you like, but there's no end to it. It's the active agent in our discipleship, like yeast works in bread, to make us grow in the knowledge of Scripture and practical holiness. When we grow to know God, we're growing to know the Trinity. You wouldn't think that having only three components would make something so awesome, but the Holy Trinity certainly is. We encounter God as a loving Father who is sovereign over us, as a human being through Jesus the Son, who lived and died among us, yet rose again, and as an inner reality in the Holy Spirit working in us as love. Looking back at our gospel entitled The Commissioning of the Disciples, we read that the disciples worshipped Jesus, but some doubted. I always find the doubts of the disciples such a comfort, as they react in such a human way to which we, well, certainly I, can easily relate. But they're told that they're to go out in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the latter that would guide them. And the icing on the cake, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that's what we, as disciples of today, have to hold on to. Jesus said that all authority had been given to him. So he then sent out his disciples and us, go to obey everything that has been commanded to us. Go. But on our individual spiritual journeys, we all need time to understand what Jesus taught, for it is often not a question of theological knowledge, but of things of the heart. It's about the meaning of love, of suffering, of the presence of God in our lives and in that of others. Isn't that so true at the moment here within our St. Cross family? That meaning of love, suffering, and the presence of God embracing it all. There are so many things that the Spirit guides us to understand, but it doesn't happen all in one go. I think that is why we talk about our spiritual journeys. As we know, journeys, certainly on motorways and during diversions, can be testing, but we can't always choose the scenic route. We continually need to ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us, and more importantly, for us to be open and receptive to it. Not only did Jesus have many things to say to the disciples, but he continues to have many things to say to us now that the Trinity is complete. But how do we feel about that? Are we perhaps afraid of what might be asked of us? Are we afraid to listen to him in case we hear something we don't want to hear? We have to learn to let go of resistance and learn to be able to live with the truth. As our journey through life continues, the Holy Spirit gradually unfolds God's message so that it speaks to us at appropriate times. Our capacity to take in what God has to reveal to us is expandable. When we become more open, the Spirit of truth will reveal more and guide us into all the truth. So to conclude, the mystery of the Trinity is nigh impossible to put into words, but I repeat, try to understand it and you'll lose your mind. Try to deny it and you'll lose your soul. The three facets of the Holy Trinity reflect the love of the sharing of truth in all that they are. They're intrinsically linked. So let us go from this place, taking those reassuring words from our epistle today, from Paul's final words in his second letter to the Corinthians, which I also say from my heart to you all here today, in celebration of our living faith. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen.